the meat of it and writing a sermon on it and things like that. And I believe we've talked about what to do when there's not a thou shalt not, and how to make biblical decisions with wisdom and things like that. Tonight we're talking about, the title of this one is Why Christians Have Trouble. Why Christians Have Trouble. And I remember when I got saved, I thought everything, again, I was only 10 years old. And as a 10-year-old, I had faced stuff. I had faced things in school, things with maybe so-called friends. I had faced situations with my parents not getting along, things like that, and them being separated for a time and so forth. And I had trouble. And so when I got saved, I thought, okay, everything's going to be perfect. I'm going to be perfect. I'm not going to get any more spankings. I'm not going to be restricted anymore. Everything's going to be awesome because I'm saved now. Little did I know that that's not the case. And maybe the devil tries to, implant that in our minds, that we think, well, now that I'm saved, I'm a Christian, I'm going to heaven, everything's wonderful. And then all of a sudden, you know, situation takes place that we don't understand, or we're not even agree with it. And we're like, what in the world? And the devil will jump over there and say, see, God's not as good as he says he is, and he's not in control, things like that. But that, we know that's not the case. Because, you know, sin came into this world. When Adam and Eve were created, it was created perfect. It would have been wonderful. And, you know, again, we've all said, you know, when I get to heaven, I'm going to have a little talk with Adam and Eve. And we'd have probably done the same thing, not probably about it. I'd probably even have done worse. But anyway, so things like that. So, you know, the reason we have trouble is because we still have a sin nature. We are saved if we're Christians and we've asked Jesus Christ to come to our heart and things like that. But again, what that does, it says, okay, you're not going to go to hell. There's nothing you can do to go to hell now. You can still get in trouble. You can still have trouble, things like that. And sometimes we can be doing the right thing and still face trouble. All the prayer requests we heard tonight, there's lots of Christians involved in that. And there's lots of Christians that are doing right involved in that. But they're still facing something that they don't understand or they would not have chosen. And they're still having trouble. And so, you know, the Bible says here in John 16:33, it explains to us why Christians have trouble. And it says, these things have I spoken unto you that in me, and that's the key to this whole verse, those two little words right there, in me. And so, of course, when we in the world, we need Jesus. To get to heaven, we need Jesus. And when we're going through trouble, we need Jesus. And so that's what he said. And these things have I spoken unto you that in me you might have peace. So even though you're going through something that you wouldn't have chosen, you're going through a heartache that you do not understand. It says here, if you'll be in me, I can give you peace. And it says here, in the world ye shall have tribulation. So there's the promise. In this world, we're going to have trouble. We're going to face things that we wouldn't choose, we don't agree with, we don't understand, but we are just going to face them. It's just the sun rises in the east, settles in the west. A Christian's going to have trouble in this world. Why? Because of sin. Because of our flesh. Because of the devil. Because of this world's philosophy. We're just going to have trouble. Again, we can turn over new leaves. We can, you know, say, I'm going to do this. But we're going to have trouble. But this says right here, in me. So I would rather have, let's say, for instance, I guess the worst thing that has happened to me in my life is the loss of my brother. And of course, I wouldn't have chosen that. I didn't understand that. You know, in my flesh, I wouldn't agree with that. But in Jesus, I've you know, had this peace that he was before the age of accountability. So he went to heaven. And because of that situation, my family went to church and we all got saved. So in that tribulation, in Jesus, we had peace. Would I have still chosen him to be here? Yes. And all that kind of stuff. But in Jesus, even though I had tribulation, I had peace. Why? Because it says, but be of good cheer. I have overcome this world. So anything that we might face is nothing to Jesus. Again, he's not saying that, you know, suck it up, be tough, man up, whatever, you know, and just live with. No, he's like, I can help you. I can help you overcome it. I can help you get through it. So in me, in Jesus. And of course, in this world, a lot of people have tried everything but that. Okay, they're like, man, I'm facing this tragedy. I'm facing this trouble. I'm facing this tribulation. So I'm going to try to do it in my own strength. All right, and you look in the mirror and say, dude, man up. suck it up, man. You can handle this. Just grit your teeth. Be determined. And they've tried to make it, and they've fallen flat on their face. Why? Because it didn't say in yourself you can figure it out. All right? It says in me. Why? Because I've overcome the world. We can't overcome the world. So not in our own strength. And then a lot of us, not me, have a great, what we would call a mental capacity. In other words, we're brilliant, or we're very smart, made straight A's. We could have been an engineer, or we could have been a doctor, or we could have been this, or we could have been that. Why? Because I can figure out anything. We can't figure it out. There's a lot of people that have tried to figure out. That's why help books have been written. And they stack up with all the other help books. I've read this help book, this help book, this help book, this help book. I still got this problem. I still don't understand. Why? Because the mental capacity is not there to figure it out. But Jesus is there, and He can. Then people they've left their own strength and said, I can't figure it out. They've left their own mental capacity. I can't figure it out. Then they've turned to, we could make a list here, alcohol. And that's what the devil say. Just drink alcohol and it'll be all better. And so they get blown out of their mind and they think, yeah, man, this is awesome. And then they sober up and the problem's still there. They haven't fixed anything. Again, I've seen people, they're a month behind on their rent and all this kind of stuff, so they get drunk for a week. Now they're 2 months behind. It didn't fix itself. So they've tried alcohol, they've tried drugs, they've tried any other vice to fix the problem, but they can't. Turning over enough new leaves will not fix it. There's a lot of things out there, religious solving, religious solutions. Do enough good works. That's not going to fix the problem. Light enough candles, pay enough money. That's not going to fix it. This world has, things that they offer better than God. And they go through life and they're not fixed. So you can't get out of the trouble. But with Jesus, in Jesus, you can get through the trouble. Let me say that again. We can't get out of the trouble. We're going to have to face it. And again, I wish it wasn't. But we're going to have to face the trouble. But we can't get out of it, but we can get through it with Jesus. You don't have to turn there, but I'll read you one other verse. 1 John 4:4. 1 John 4:4 says this, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that's in you than he that's in this world. And so God has allowed Satan to be the god of this world. And so it's going to just be trouble on every hand. And again, I'm I realize how this sounds. Being a Christian is awesome. You're going to face trouble. Being a Christian is great and putting God first is awesome, but you're still going to face trouble. But it says here that He has overcome the world. So as far as introduction goes, I've always categorized trouble or tribulation in three categories. This is me. This was before I started reading this book. Number one is it's for punishment. Okay, I never had to wonder if my dad was spanking me, because I could feel it. And I never had to wonder why he was spanking me. Right? Most of the time, it was because he was telling me why he was spanking me, all right? And things like that. But me, as a little knothead kid, I could go down the list. I may be getting a spanking for this, for this, for this. There were several things that I had done that warranted it, but maybe if he hadn't told me why, I get it. So again, same thing. A lot of times when we face trouble, it's because God is spanking us. It's God's punishment. Now, we're going to look at several things here tonight, and I'm not saying here that I know why you're facing your trouble, or I know why I'm facing the trouble. But the Holy Spirit will tell you, tell me why. Because there are several reasons that Christians face trouble sometimes. We're going to look at them tonight. But as far as introduction, sometimes it's punishment. And it says this, John 5:1, behold, happy is the man who God correcteth. Okay? Now, as a 5-year-old, 7-year-old, I think I got my last spanking when I was 18. All right? And it was out of principle. I'd come home from Bible college. And me and my brother, which he's 15 years younger than me, we got in a squirt gun fight in the church. Okay, and so, he was going to get in trouble because he was told not to do it. But now here his 18-year-old brother's doing it, so that okayed him doing it, right? And so my brother got a spanking right there in the foyer because my dad had told him not to squirt the squirt gun in the church. And here I am doing the same thing. He said, turn around, boy. All right, He said, hey, it's a principle of the thing. He got one, so you're getting one. So, but anyway, but it says here, behold, happy is the man who God corrected. So there was never a time that I remember getting a spanking and saying, woohoo, I'm getting a spanking. This is awesome. This is the greatest thing since sliced bread. Dad, give me another one. All right? I don't ever remember having that. But it says, happy is the man who God corrected. Why? Goes on to say, therefore, despise not the chastening of the Almighty. And we're going to see why here in a second. The Bible says in Proverbs 3:12, for whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. And so God's going to correct us just like our parents corrected us. Why? Because they loved us. My dad really loved me a lot. All right? Now, again, I deserved it. And so, if you're going through trouble, it could be a spank. And again, I'm not trying to say that's why you're going through trouble. Holy Spirit will enlighten you in that. Second is this, temptation. So not only we're facing trouble because of our own doings, and it's a spanking, or it could just be a temptation. A couple of verses here. 1 Corinthians 10:13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such is as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but with the temptation also make a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it. And so the Bible says that we ought to be happy that God spanked us. Why? Because we're His kid. Now we see here that we ought to, says here, there's no temptation that's common to you, but He's faithful. And that He's going to give you a way of escape. James 1:2 says this, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation. So again, the first verse told me to be happy when I was getting a spanking. This next verse says, be happy when you're falling into temptation. Why? Because what God is doing, He's correcting you because He loves you. Or He's giving you this temptation, but He's also giving you that way of escape. You can't stop the temptation, just like you can't stop the trouble. You can't stop the spanking, but you can learn from it. The temptation, you can't stop it from coming, but you can find that way of escape. James 1:12 says this, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For whom he is tried, he shall receive a crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love Him. So as a 55-year-old, I can look back and I am happy that I had a dad that corrected me and a mom that corrected me. Why? Because I'm not in prison. I'm not running from the law. I've been taught how to live a life of honesty and hard work and do the right thing. And obviously, praise the Lord, Christianity and things like that. That's what I was corrected for. Same thing here, this temptation. The Bible tells me to count it all joy. Why? Because the temptation is going to come, but God's going to give me that way of escape. And if I find it, I can receive a reward, a crown of life, the Bible says. So number one was punishment. Number two was temptation. Number three was a test. A test. Now, I don't like tests. I never did like tests and so forth. But I did find out if I didn't pass it, I was going to have to take it again. I told you this before, I'm sure, but my written test to get my driver's license, I failed 3 times. Why? Because I never read the book, never studied the material. I said, I've been driving since I was 8. Been bush hogging pastures. I've been driving dump trucks. I've been driving Willie's Jeeps. I can drive. I don't need to take a written test. And I learned that I had to read the book and pass it. So Job 1:8 says this, and the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? That there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. So that test, that trouble, was allowed by God to test Job. And He kind of expected Job to do the right thing. And so when we're going through trouble, it could either be a spanking. Be happy. You're saved. You're on your way to heaven. And when you do something wrong, God's going to punish you. Second, it could be a temptation. And thirdly, it could be a test. Now, we ought to know if it's punishment, and we ought to look for a way of escape when it's temptation, and we ought to pass the test the first time when it's a test. But sometimes we know what God is doing, but then sometimes we don't. Again, that's the three things that I've always said. Lord, am I doing something wrong? And He doesn't speak to my heart. He doesn't show me, okay, this must be a temptation or this must be a test. And so we see that sometimes we know exactly what God's doing, sometimes we don't. John 13:6-7 says this, then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? And verse 7 says, Jesus answered and said unto him, What I know thou knowest, or what I do thou knowest not, but thou shalt know hereafter. And so sometimes that God's doing something and we might not know what He's doing. But according to this verse, He explained to Peter, sometimes I'm going to do something and you're not going to have a clue why I'm doing it. But then you're going to figure it out hereafter. And I've heard people say, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask God. We probably won't. So some things we will know and some things we won't. There's some things we'll understand and there are some things we won't. But the key is to trust God with both. Sometimes, you'll go through something and you'll learn something from it, and then you'll see a verse or the Holy Spirit will speak to your heart, or you'll hear somebody preach and go, aha, that was your hereafter. That's why God did it. This is why God allowed this to happen in my life. This is what it produced. I got it. Thank you, Lord. There's sometimes you're going to say, okay, Lord, I still don't understand why you did that. I haven't learned anything yet. You haven't showed me. You haven't revealed it to me. But what we've got to do is trust God with both. 1 John 3:20, for if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and He knoweth all things. I just know in my heart that this is why. We might not know. The Bible, I just trust my heart. What does the Bible say our heart is? It's deceitful and desperately wicked. Okay, so we can't know our heart. But we can know God, that He knoweth all things. So, according to this little booklet, there was four things that trouble is for. So number one, trouble is for chastening, and that's what we've talked about already. Trouble is for chastening. If I'm saved and I sin, there's going to be conviction. There's going to be chastening. Why? So there can be correction. It's plain as day in the Bible. If I'm saved and I can sin, there's going to be conviction. There's going to be chastening. Why? Because He wants us to correct it. That's exactly what a parent does for a child when he's chastening them, whether it be a spanking or a timeout or a restriction or a loss of a privilege. What is he doing? Trying to get him to think that I did this. Here was the consequences. I don't want to do that anymore, so I'm not going to do that. We correct it. And so Hebrews 12:6 says this, for whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth and scourgeth him. Scourgeth basically means spank. Scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. So anybody that's saved is a child of God. And if they sin or do wrong, they can just mark it down. You're going to get chastened. If we endure the chastening of God, dealeth with you as a son. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? In other words, I was always explained this. If there's a bunch of neighborhood kids doing something, which I was probably involved in, maybe throwing a rock through a window with some neighborhood kids, I can neither confirm nor deny. But my dad comes out and catches me. He chews me out. He takes me home. He spanks me. All the other kids got away with it because their parents didn't come out. Their parents didn't catch them. They just kept it under their hat. I was like, that's not fair. But my dad wasn't going to correct all those other kids. He wasn't going to spank any of those other kids. Why? They weren't his kids. Wasn't responsible. And so I don't know if he told on them or whatever and things like that. But we see here, that's what this verse is saying. If the Lord loves us, if we're saved, we're going to get in trouble. And if we endure that chastening, God deals with us as sons. For what son whom the Father chasteth not? But if ye be without the chastening or the chastisement, where are you partakers? You did the wrong, and you are bastards and not sons. In other words, you do not belong to the Father. And so I was told as a teenager, if you can sin and get away with it, there's no correction. I'd check up. Okay, that's why the Bible says work out your own salvation in fear and trembling. Because the Lord is going to correct you. You do wrong, you're going to feel the conviction. You do wrong, you're going to face consequences. So if you can sin and get away with it, there's only two things according to the Bible. Number one, you're not saved. Or number two, you've been turned over to a reprobate mind for the destruction of the flesh. Why? Because the Bible says the Spirit will not always strive with man. I'd hate to be that. That's why it says happy is the man that gets corrected. I know I'm saved because God's tearing me up. God is chewing me out. God is chastising me. The Lord chastises and He makes us better. When we're chastised the Lord, He's trying to bring us back or to make us better. Prodigal son, that's why he had to face. eating the hog slop, losing his friends, losing all his money. He had to come to himself. Why? Because God was trying to bring him back. So we see, number one, God corrects those he loves. B, it says this in 1 Corinthians 11:30. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. So according to this verse, when a Christian is doing wrong, God makes them weak, God makes them sickly, and then it says, and many of them sleep. And that sleep right there is not what we did last night. That sleep is death. Okay? And so, again, I have seen people. I have had friends. I have had teenagers in my youth group over the years that got sick because of chastisement of the Lord. They became weak because of chastisement of the Lord. And I could give you a list of those that are sleeping today. In other words, they're dead today because of the chastising of the Lord. So parents may say to the child, stop, or you're going to get a spanking. And then if you're in a place of establishment, you either stop or you're going to come sit by me. That was the worst thing in the world for me. Why? Because I like to play. I like to be involved. But my mom said, hey, if you can't behave yourself, you're going to come sit right here. That's what God's saying. If you can't behave yourself down there, you're going to come sit by me. Of course, death is the only route to that. So I spank my children, number one, to be obedient to God. Number two, I wanted to spank them because I wanted them to turn out for God. Train up a child in the way he should go is what the Bible says. So trouble is for chastening. Number two, trouble is for conditioning. Trouble is for conditioning. So not only is it for chastising, it's for conditioning. So if you're going through trouble and you're like, Lord, am I doing anything wrong? Are you spanking me? And nothing comes. Mark that one off. Say, okay, God's not correcting me. God's not spanking me. He's not chastising me. So go to the next one. Is he conditioning me for something? I don't know if there's any runners in here. And again, I have had to run a lot in sports and things like that, but I've never just went out and run 5Ks just because I wanted to. I don't know. Some people like that. They enjoy it. But what do? They're conditioning. You don't just go from never running to go run a 5K. Don't try that. Right, you're going to the hospital if you try that because you are not in condition. So you have to condition yourself. You run a little bit, you run a little bit more, and then a little bit more, and then a little bit more. And then you get to where you can run a 5K, whatever that is. It's a long ways, amen? Several miles, and so forth. So working out, what it does, I don't know if you've ever studied that or not, but if you work out with weights or some type of push-up or sit-up or things like that, you get sore because what? You've caused blood vessels in your muscles to burst, and they're healing. That's what causes the soreness. But if you do that, and you let them heal up, and then you do that the next day, and you let it heal up, and you do that the next day, and you let it heal up, it causes your biceps and your thighs and your calf muscles to get bigger. You're conditioning. And so a lot of times God will cause things to happen in our life, not because he's spanking us, but he's conditioning us for something. So we can do that. And then it says in 2 Corinthians 1:4, whom comforteth us in all of our tribulation, that we may be that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. So in other words, what God's doing when he's conditioning you for something, he's allowing that trouble to go through your life. So you come to him and you read the word of God and you pray and maybe you get some advice and you overcome it. So then next time you meet somebody that's going through that same situation, that verse right there says what you can do is you can tell them what the Bible said to you. You can tell them what the Holy Spirit said to you. You can tell them what your pastor said to you. You can tell them what an older Christian gave you counsel. You can comfort them like you were comforted. So God's allowing that trouble. And I'll read the verse again. Whom comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. So oftentimes, trouble comes into our life and we can learn something so we can be a blessing to others. And I've made a little list here of things, and I've mentioned one already, but things that came into my life that I was like, God, is this for a spanking? Are you chastising me? And nothing came. No, I didn't feel it. I didn't see it. I didn't hear it. I said, okay, that's not for a chastising. Praise the Lord. I may be learning here a little bit. I've been hard-headed all my life. But are you conditioning me for something? And again, just like Peter said, God, are you going to wash my feet? Peter, you don't know what I'm doing. Sometimes you just won't know, but hereafter. So in other words, there's been things in my life that it took, I guess, praying to get through. It took the comfort of God to get through. It took principles in the Bible to get through. It took advice from my pastor or my youth director to get through. And then years later, wham, I run into somebody that's going through the exact same thing. And I was like, this is what I learned from the Bible. This is what my pastor told me to do. This is what the Bible says. And I can help them. And there's my hereafter. So God allowed me to go through it so I could be a blessing to them. Trouble that I faced. All of us probably have lost loved ones. I've lost grandparents. And it's helped me, being a youth director for years and years and years, to help young people in my youth group that lost their grandparents. It helped me to help them. And I mean, the biggest comfort was my four grandparents, all four were saved. That was a blessing. Comfort one another with these words. That's what it's talking about. So the chastisement, or I mean the conditioning, going through that trouble helped me to help them. When I lost my brother, it has helped me to help other people that have lost loved ones. When I was in Bible college, I lost a pastor, first of all, because he changed what he preached and how he lived. And then later on, he died. And so that was a struggle. It was a hurt. So I had people come to Bible college when I was a teacher. And while they were in Bible college, they got word that their pastor changed the Bible he preached out of, changed how they did church, changed this about the church. And they're like, what do I do? I was able to help them. You do what you do because of God. Praise God who taught it to you. But if they change, I'm not. And that's how you help them. He's conditioning sometimes. People that disappoint you. Places that disappoint you. Situations that disappoint you. Learn from it. Why? Because you might be able to help somebody hereafter. I haven't had a lot of health issues. Like I told you, I think I've broke this finger three or four times, broke this wrist once, a couple casts, a couple splints. Kidney stone last summer. Don't want to ever do that again. I was in the emergency room for about an hour, and that's it. I haven't had a lot of health issues. But some people go through health issues, and what do? They trust God, and they do what they're supposed to do, things like that. It may be that God's going to let you help somebody else. I have had dreams that fell through. Again, I remember being a little boy. I wanted to be a policeman, fireman, Batman, Superman, all those things. And all those dreams fell through. I tried to fly. It didn't work. All right? And things like that, they fell through. And so when we go through things like that, God can help us, conditioning us for us. I'm going to read you a couple of examples of this, of preachers. A.J. Gordon was a pastor, and he used to pray this prayer. Dear God, be thorough with me. He wanted to be conditioned. Time is short. Responsibility is great. The number of souls that are dying and going to hell is beyond our imagination. And we are reaching so few for Christ. So what he was saying, and I've prayed this to God. It's a scary prayer. God, do to me whatever necessary so I can be what you want me to be. That's scary. Right? But again, if God had me be a preacher and had me to serve Him with my life, I don't want any hindrances. I don't want to be limited in any way. And that's what A.J. Gordon was praying. God, whatever it takes to be more like You, break my will, cause me to go through things that I might not understand, and I might have a hereafter. I might not even ever have a hereafter. But whatever You need to do to me, get me to the place. That's conditioning. The world is full of people that have been sad, they're disappointed, they're depressed, they're on the verge of losing it. And if a Christian that has been conditioned can help them through that, praise the Lord. The only answer is God. But what does God use? God uses people so that they can be equipped to help. And again, you know, there have been times where I have people sit across my desk in tears. What do I do? And I have had some conditioning, whether it be what I learned in Bible college class or something that I went through in my own life, and I've been able to help them. And obviously it was God that did that. So sometimes God may use things unknown to us to get us ready to use us in a marvelous way. Here's a couple other examples. You probably heard some of these preachers. Dr. George W. Truett was the pastor of the First Baptist Church of Dallas, Texas. Thousands in membership. It says here, when he was a pastor of that church, he shot his best friend in a hunting accident. And they say he never smiled again. But they also said he never preached with the power of God the rest of his life. Nobody would want that. Nobody would desire that. But only God could help him through that. And he used it in a great way. B.R. Lakin lost his son in a tragic accident. And after that, he preached like he had never preached before with such power. Charles G. Finney had his own pastor tell him, "I wished I'd never ordained you." It broke Finney's heart, but he went on to turn the world upside down. Spurgeon, I know you've heard that one, was voted out of the Baptist Union in his country. Said, you're out. You're done. We're not going to claim you. But what did he do? He just became the father of the independent Baptist movement. And reach this continent. Amen. And so, again, just because you're going through troubles, you're like, are you spanking me for something? Mm-mm. He may just be conditioning you for something. So God sometimes sends trouble in our lives to condition us so that He can use us in a greater way. So number one, we saw that trouble is for chastening. Number two, trouble is for conditioning. Number three, trouble is conforming. Conforming. This is similar to conditioning, but a little bit different. In Romans 8:29, it says this, "For whom the Lord foreknew, He also did predestinate." And again, when we hear that word, we get the heebie-jeebies these days, because some people believe that you're predestined to hell and predestined to heaven. Wrong answer. It's not His will that any should perish. All right, so don't freak out when you hear that. But it says here, "For whom the Lord foreknew," the Bible says He knew about us before the foundations of the world were put into place. We were in God's mind. So He did foreknow us. He did predestinate us. What did He predestinate us for? And it goes on to say, it doesn't say heaven or hell. It says to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. In other words, when you get saved, you become a brother of Christ. That's why we call each other brother. And God said He wanted it to be many, not just a few. But He predestined some things to happen in our life to do what? To conform us to be like Jesus. Again, Jesus didn't want to be slapped. He didn't want His beard to be plucked out. He didn't want to have people spit upon Him and lie about Him and make fun of Him. Oh, He saved others. He can't save Himself. They're running off at the mouth. He didn't desire all that. But it made Him into the Savior that we needed. So when we get made fun of, or we go through trouble, we have hard times, it's to conform us to the image of His Son. Again, we've all heard it, WWJD. What would Jesus do? So anything that we go through, that's what we ought to ask ourselves. How would Jesus respond to this? What would He say? How would He react? Why? Because God foreknew you. He predestined for that to happen in your life. Why? So you could be more like His Son. So it says here, ultimately, God wants us to be exactly like Jesus. So trouble is designed to bring out that conformity, to make us like Jesus. All right? Not for heaven, not for hell, but to make us more like Jesus. So right up until Jesus' return, He is developing, He is perfecting, He is working on us. The children's song, "He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be." Took Him just a week to make the moon and the stars, sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars, but He's still working on me. And it says in Philippians 1:6, "He which began a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." So until He comes back, He's allowing things to come into your life to conform you into the image of His Son. Matthew 5:48, "Be ye therefore perfect, for your Father which is in heaven is perfect." We ought to be trying to be perfect. And I have never had a day when I laid my head down on my pillow that it said, "Ah, that was it. I was perfect today." I've never had one of those. You? But the Bible says, be ye perfect, for God is perfect. So I can't lay my head on my pillow at night and says, I said everything the way I should have said it today. I prayed, my prayer life was perfect today. Be in season, out of season, pray without ceasing. I can't say my prayer life was perfect. My Bible study, everything I've ever read in that Bible, I've put it into practice. Can't say that. I witnessed to every person that I had an opportunity to witness to. I can't say that. I've had the right disposition in every situation. I can't say that. My attitude towards others have always been right. So I can't say that. So listen to what Psalm 17:15 says. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake in thy likeness. So David said this to the Lord. Said, I'm trying to be perfect. Why? Because the Bible says to. I'm trying. And I'm trying to conform. I'm trying to let you work in me. But David did, he said, I shall be satisfied. In a lot of people's mind, he could have been satisfied when he said, I'm the king of Israel. Isn't that a satisfying statement? But David wasn't satisfied. He could have said, I'm the man after God's own heart, so I'm satisfied. But he didn't say that. He could have said, I killed a lion and a bear with my bare hands, and I killed Goliath with my slingshot. I'm satisfied. But he didn't say that. You know why? Because he was also the guy that committed adultery with Bathsheba. I'm not satisfied. And not only did I do that, I put her husband in the front line so he'd get killed. So I'm not satisfied. So what David said was, all this is conditioning me. And the only day that I'll be satisfied is when I awake in thy likeness. I love that verse. Because I am a perfectionist. I want to pray perfectly. I want to live perfectly. I want to have the right attitude and disposition and things like that. But I blow it all the time. But David said, me too, but I'll awake. So God needs, gold needs heat for purifying. If you read in the Bible where it talks about the dross and the flames and the hot and all that imperfection comes up to the top. What is it doing? It's conditioning that gold. Some of us have 14 karat gold, 18 karat gold, 22 karat gold. All that basically means is how hot it got and how many imperfections it's gotten out of it. So for us to be like Christ is going to take some heat. What does a diamond need? It needs pressure. Okay, that coal, that lump of coal needs pressure. Pressure. Out pops a diamond. What does a pearl need? It needs an irritant or an aggravation. All right, Paul is like that. God, this thorn in my flesh is aggravating me to death. You know, it's irritating me. Take it away. No, not going to do it. Why? Because you need it. So I can condition you into be the Apostle Paul. So a Christian needs to have that trouble to be conformed. So we saw number one, trouble is for chastening. Number two is for conditioning. Number three is for conforming. And lastly, number four, it is for a chance to bring glory to God. It's a chance to bring glory to God. So you can remember all four of those C's, for chastening, for conditioning, for conforming. And a chance to bring glory to God. Let's read John 9:3. John 9:3 says this, Jesus answered, and of course if you read verses 1 and 2, it's talking about this young man that was born blind, and they were saying, is it his parents' sin because he was born blind? Or is it his sin that he was born blind? And in verse 3 it says this, Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. So God, are you spanking me? No. God, are you conditioning me for something? No. Are you conforming me for something? No. I just want you to bring glory to God in this situation. So the situation was that God wanted to be glorified. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12:9, he had asked God three times, we just mentioned this, to remove the thorn of the flesh. And verse 9 says, my grace is sufficient for thee, and my strength is made perfect in your weakness. The gold will be finer because of the heat. The diamond will be sparklier because of the pressure. The pearl will be bigger because of the irritant. And the Christian will be a better Christian because of the weakness. So Job was an example of this. He brought glory to God. Job 13:15, though you slay me, yet I will trust him. Job 23:10, when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. So in conclusion, Isaiah 50:10 says this, who is among them that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord. And I heard a statement said this, you can't always trace God. Where's he at? What's he doing? You can't always trace him, but you can always trust him. That's what this verse is saying. And the poem that to end it says this, so I go on not knowing. I would not if I might. I'd rather walk with Christ in the dark than walk alone in the light. So again, sometimes we don't know why God's allowing trouble to come in our life. If it's a spanking, you'll know. Fix it. Just fix it. I remember, finally, never ever getting another spanking for lying. Never ever getting a spanking for not doing my homework. I just started doing it and not doing it. I was like, huh, life's pretty cool. I can sit down comfortably. All right? I get to do things that I want to do. Why? Because I learned. So if it's chastising, fix it. Then allow God to condition you. You may come across somebody's path that you can help one day. And then, of course, let it conform you to be just like Jesus and always try to bring glory to God in it. Lord Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity. Lord, thank you for trouble. Obviously, it makes us into what we ought to be. And we have examples of that in the Bible about you're just trying to get that dross out of us. You're just trying to make us shine. You're trying to make us better, and you're purifying us. And Lord, I ask you to help us not to run or hide from trouble, but Lord, help us to learn from it. In Jesus' name, amen.